Revenge of the Middle-Aged Woman by Elizabeth Buchan. Read by Joanna David. Chapter 1. Here, said Minty, my deputy, with one of her breathy laughs. The review has just come in. It's hilariously vindictive. She pushed towards me a book entitled 1,000 Olive Trees by Hal Thorne, with a review tucked into it. For some reason, I picked up the book. Normally, I avoided anything to do with Hal, but I did not think it mattered this once. I was settled, busy, different, and I had made my choice a long time ago. When we first discussed my working on the book's pages, Nathan argued that if I ever achieved my ambition to become the book's editor, I would end up hating books. Familiarity bred contempt. But I said that Mark Twain had got it better when he said that familiarity breeds not so much contempt, but children. And wasn't Nathan's comment a reflection on his own feelings about his own job? Nathan replied, "Nonsense. Have I ever been happier? And you wait and see." The latter was said with one of his ironic, strong man, I know better than you smiles, which I always enjoyed. So far, he had been wrong. For me, books remained full of promise and contained a sense of possibility, any possibility. In rocky times, they were saviors and life belts, and when I was younger, they provided chapter and verse when I had to make decisions. Over the years of working with them, it had become second nature to categorize them by touch. Thick, rough, cheaper paper denoted a paperback novel. Poetry hovered on the waitlist and was decorated with wide, white margins. Biographies were heavy with photographs and the secrets of their subject's life. 1,000 Olive Trees was slim and compact. A typical travelogue whose cover photograph was of a hard blue sky and a rocky, isolated shoreline beneath. It looked hot and dry, the kind of terrain where feet slithered over scree and bruises sprouted between the toes. Minty was watching my reaction. She had a trick of fixing her dark, slightly slanting eyes on whoever and of appearing not to blink. The effect was of rapt, sympathetic attention, which fascinated people and also, I think, comforted them. That dark, intent gaze had certainly comforted me many times during the 3 years we'd worked together in the office. This man is a fraud, she cited from the review, and his book is worse. What do you suppose he's done to deserve the vitriol? I murmured. Sold lots of copies, Minty shot back. I handed her 1,000 Olive Trees. You deal, ring up Dan Thomas and see if he'll do a quickie. Not up to it, Rose. She spoke slowly and thoughtfully, but with an edge I did not quite recognize. Don't you think you should be by now? I smiled at her. I liked to think that Minty had become a friend, and because she always spoke her mind, I trusted her. No, it's not a test. I just don't wish to handle Hal Thorne's books. Fine. She picked her way round the boxes on the floor, which was packed with them, and sat down. Like you said, I know how to deal. I'm not sure she approved. Neither did I, for it was not professional behaviour to ignore a book, certainly not one that would receive a lot of coverage. My attention was diverted by the internal phone. It was Stephen from production. Rose, I'm very sorry, but we're going to have to cut a page from books for the 29th. Stephen. Sorry, Rose, can you do it by this afternoon? Twice running, Steve. Can't someone else be the sacrificial lamb? Cookery? Travel? No. Stephen was harassed and impatient. In our business, getting an issue out, time dictated our decisions and our reactions. After a while, it became second nature, and we spoke to each other in a shorthand. There was never time for the normal give and take of argument. I glanced at Minty. She was typing away studiously, but she was, I knew, listening in. I said reluctantly, I could manage it by tomorrow morning. No later, Stephen rang off. Bad luck, Minty typed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?